I'm In with the ARCC is brought to you by StoredTech, your technology, our passion. And now, here's your host for I'm In with the ARCC, Amanda Blanton.
And welcome to I'm In with the ARCC. I'm your host, Amanda Blanton, Marketing and Communications Manager with the Adirondack Regional Chamber of Commerce. And today I am joined virtually by Wendy Waldron. She's the owner of Waldron Works and is also an EOS implementer, accomplished medical practice executive, project manager, energy aligner, and storyteller. She has long been interested in why we all do what we do and how we can do it better. And I have to agree with her on that because I'm very interested in why we do what we do as well. But without further ado, I'd love to welcome Wendy Waldron to the show. Welcome.
Amanda, thank you so much. I really appreciate being with you today.
Awesome. And again, you know, as we're working through these interesting times with our technology challenges, here we are, you know, able to do this show. So I'm excited to have you on as well. And I know that you've been on the show before, but it's been quite some time and a lot of things have changed. So I would like to first give you the opportunity to talk about your business and tell us a bit about your journey to owning your own business. And then, of course, later in the show, we're going to actually tackle some interesting topics, which I'm excited about. So let's get started with how did you discover your passion and what led you to starting your own business?
Yeah, thank you. Waldron Works is a creation that is almost 2 years old now, and we have spoken before. And it is actually, it's a story of me discovering my business, having always lived my passion. So I have always been, ever since I grew up and went all the way through Queensbury Schools here, I was the leader, the joiner, the person in the clubs, the person with the causes, literally the Girl Scout selling the most Girl Scout cookies. That was me. And then fast forward through a career in higher education and student affairs, and then in medical practice management. For me, it was never about the clinical aspects of that, but it was about creating communities. It was about recognizing the potential in all of us. And it truly was about valuing the work that everybody does so that your common goal, your common outcome could be greater. So a lot of the work that I did in medical practices, I called interpreting. It was leading, of course, but it was interpreting the needs and the wants and the real clinical reasons for some of the most highly educated and highly compensated people in our communities, with those of the folks that we hired through a temp agency. We hired them off the street, and it was their job to collect information. And my job was to figure out the pieces in between, to look at how we could simplify the structure, to look at how we transmitted that we did value everybody's contribution, so that we could create centers of excellence, so that the intrapreneur in me working within large organizations could have that same sense of ownership about the work that we were doing. But it's always been about recognizing the contributions of each individual person, seeing the value in the structures of our workplaces, and being able to grow from there, whether it was to care for patients or to make money or to just build a business that you love. That's important to me. And that's what I do with Waldron Works every day now. And I'm not doing the things that are not focused on that passion. So that's really been very rewarding for me.
That's great to hear. And I heard you say that Waldron Works has been in existence for about 2 years. It's hard to believe that it's not just been that long, but it just seems like, where does the time go? But so far, what has your experience been owning your own business? Are you able to fulfill your passion?
Yes. Yeah. Quick answer is yes. I have worked the chamber. Through the chamber a lot, both with you directly and supporting other people that are chamber members, and has as such, I have been working as a project manager and transitioning an electronic system from one to another for one of our longstanding community companies, leaders here in town. I found that there was a need for more than just off-the-cuff sort of advice or consulting or these grand terms like communication and leadership. And so dug a little deeper as to what I could offer this community. I found the Entrepreneurial Operating System, EOS, is a set of simple tools. It's things like Jim Collins' Good to Great and Stephen Covey boiled down and pulled together into a process that has been tried by now more than 9,000 companies, tested through millions of dollars of revenue, billions, I'm sure, and now is something that we can implement one company at a time. And I'm doing that here. I'm doing that within our community. I'll start another company on their journey on Friday. So I absolutely am able to follow my passion, make a living, and grow the economy here through this work. So it's fantastic. I can't say enough about how generously I was received into the business community here, how easy it has been truly, with effort, of course. But with effort, there are connections to be had. There are people to know, and there's work to be done. And I appreciate that very much.
Absolutely. And I would agree with you on all fronts there. And I'm happy to see that you're making these connections. And we say it all the time at the Chamber, and you know this, that it's just so important to make these connections with each other and form these relationships. Because even if the business you're speaking to may not be ready for what you're offering at the moment, perhaps 6 months down the line, they're going to remember you and say, oh, that Wendy Waldron, I've got to give her a call because I think now we're ready. And that happens a lot in this community. It's sometimes it is about timing, but it really is just about creating those relationships and those connections. You can't just sit at home or in an office and expect things to come to you, right?
But you can't. No, and especially now, you can't just sit around on your couch like, you know, Zooming all the time. It really has to be that there are intentional connections made where you're offering value before you're expecting anything in return, where you're, I'm putting myself out there to say this is available. And in fact, the majority of my clients didn't know that such a thing really could be, right? That there was an executive coach for someone who works with their hands. Or that you could work on the team dynamics of your leadership team, of the team itself, right? In a really specific way, in a really concrete way, talking specifically about what you'll accomplish in this 90 days, specifically talking about who's responsible for what and what your completion rate was, like with transparency, with trust, and with candor. That those open and honest conversations are things that you can be trained to have, and that they can be about the value of the work, not the value of the person. That you have to understand that that person's valuable to start with, and then you can talk about the work that you're doing together. Sure. And that's something that is news. You know, it's news in some places.
Oh,
so it'll take a little while.
Absolutely. And a lot of business owners, especially in our region, because we do have a very large population of small to medium-sized businesses, a lot of these business owners are so busy with the day-to-day things that they don't have time to think about, like, the big picture, right?
Yeah, they're working in their business all the time because there's 187 things that need their attention at any given moment, and a client walking through the door, and now we've got PPP loans and labor issues and, you know, all kinds of things always happening. It is always something. It's always the technology. It's always something. But it is those businesses that value working on their business. It's the leaders that know the difference between working in your business and working on your business. That are able to rise. Those are the leaders that are able to have companies that grow. They could have a very successful business day to day, but if you're doing the same things every day, then you'll have the same business at the end of the day, right? So it's taking the time to invest in internal growth before you invest in external growth, to really think about what is our business. What are we accomplishing? who is accomplishing what, how do we expect that to happen, what resources do we need to garner and point in a particular direction, how do we need to support this person at this time so that our company can vault forward next year. It's that sort of strategy and tying that down to your day-to-day work. That's important. It's not the strategic plan. We're not making those anymore. The strategic plan with 26 tabs and it's a huge binder that sits on the shelf and it costs $1 million. And you know, that's just not helpful. Heck, even a 5-year plan is a little ambitious these days. When I work with companies, we talk about a big dream. That's, you know, the 10 years out, kind of big, hairy, audacious goal, right? But what we really bring it down to is let's get a collective picture in our minds. Let's discuss what our company looks like in 3 years. What's it feel like to be in this company, in this environment, in this culture? How many customers do we have? What sort of business are we running? Are we located in the same place? How many employees are there? What's the tenor of the office? Really, what does it feel like? What are we actually doing 3 years from now? And then step it back to what are we going to do in the next year? What's the 1-year plan? Further even back from that, what has to happen in the next 90 days to set us up to get there? And it becomes more and more real so that you then work it down to what are you doing every week to get to where you need to go? Because it really is about working on your business. Can't be all the time, but it has to be at least sometimes on a regular basis.
Sure.
In order for business to grow.
Makes complete sense and very well said.
Thanks. Yeah, it for you to like your life, right? Because the saddest thing is to find someone who has all the success they ever wanted, except they're really struggling. They've got, you know, they're working like 60, 80 hours a week, and they're really clocking that many, not just talking about working that many, they're really working that many hours. And they don't see a way out. They don't see a way out from underneath the weight of all of these people who now rely on them, all of these families. And it's a terribly sad thing because it is you can drown in that. You can feel like you just are not able to catch up and not ever able to quite stand up and get on top or in front of that ball. So it is those leaders that I want to talk to and say, I can show you a different way. And you'll see if it's useful to you or not.
Sure. That sounds wonderful, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I think a lot of us can relate to feeling a little overwhelmed lately. It's been a heck of a year, right?
It definitely has. We do have to take a quick commercial break. That went by so fast. I don't know how it happens. But when we come back, we are going to talk about, I titled this part, The Joy and Woes of Working from Home, which I'm actually excited to get into because I worked from home for a bit and now I'm back in the office. So I've got both perspectives, but I'm curious to hear what your take is on it. But we will take our first quick break and we will be right back on I'm In with the ARCC on Talk WWSC 93.1 FM, AM 1450.
Now more of I'm In with the Adirondack Regional Chamber of Commerce on Talk WWSC.
And we are back. Thanks for tuning in to I'm In with the ARCC, sponsored by Stored Tech, your technology, our passion. And today I am joined by Wendy Waldron. She's the owner of Waldron Works. And before the break, she told us a bit about what she does through Waldron Works. And I feel like now more than ever, businesses need someone like you, Wendy, because we're all kind of grasping, right, for some help somewhere. So
a little clarity. Any kind of clarity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So thank you for sharing a bit of your story and what you do. But in this segment, I would really love to talk about our business community and people working from home and what that looks like and what it's been doing. So let's get right into it. What would you say or what in your experience or what you're seeing or what are some of the pros to working from home, if any? Because I've got my opinion as well.
Well, I can tell you that I live in a cute little mountain town, and so one of the things that I immediately gained was a whole lot of time that I wasn't spending in my car. So at first, there was this sense of, you know, it was a deer in the headlight sense, you know, of course, at first. But for a lot of people, not having a commute was seen as a pro. And a way that they could maybe exercise more or spend more time with a family member or a hobby, right?
Sure.
In the end, I don't know that we ended up not working during those hours. But certainly, I think a pro is not driving as much, better for the environment too.
Absolutely. And I think for me, and again, I'll just speak personally very quickly here. I was enjoying a little more flexibility with my work because, you know, I would wake up in the morning with the intention of working, you know, 8:30 to 4:30 like I normally would. But, you know, sometimes maybe I took a little extra longer lunch break and took a walk in the middle of the day where I may not normally have done that working in an office. And also I got to spend more time with my cat, which to me was kind of fun. And, you know, and for all our pet lovers out there, I'm sure that was a pro as well, is to kind of spend time with your pets and loved ones while you're working from home. So I would consider those some of the positive sides to working from home.
Mm-hmm. And there's a sense of stability in some ways. Now, you know, all of this is a double-edged sword, but nice to just have a routine that includes watering the plants while having a second cup of coffee and turning the sprinkler on in the garden and doing those sorts of things rather than feeling like we're having like kind of split personalities, right? That we're the person we are at work when we think about work things and we're in the car and we're dressed for work and we're ready to go. And then having a whole bunch of chores that are in a different reality when we're home that all came together in a way, like you said, you go for a walk. At your lunch hour was a way to do that. I do think that it sort of lends itself, though, to then maybe just working a little later or maybe just rolling up and you're just going to check your email. And it's 6:30 in the morning and, you know, you haven't walked outside yet. You haven't had breakfast yet.
Sure.
And yet you pulled into working. So it can be tricky to lose the routine, you know, to lose those habits that we developed over years for our own benefit, and then we lost them all of a sudden. So very tricky.
Yes, yes. And I'm sure a lot of people who have worked from home or may still be currently working from home, one of the pros also might be not necessarily having to get dressed up. So depending on how you like to conduct your virtual meetings, you know, and a lot of people are just choosing to not get as dressed up as they normally would if they were going into the office. So again, it's a time saver. It's an effort saver. You know, people might not need to iron their clothing as much or put on so much makeup or whatever. So I can see people digging on that as well.
For sure. And in what is in some ways a more comfortable environment for some people, more comfortable in that if they really didn't like being around as many people and they appreciate if they do have a quieter space at home. I know I've spoken with some introverted friends and business owners who said, you know, we always used to get picked on about these things, but we're thriving. We're doing okay.
Sure.
So personality has a lot to do with it as well.
Absolutely. And it's so funny because I was actually going to segue into kind of the introvert conversation, because you're so right. These introverted people who have, you know, braved going to work every day and like you said, being around a lot of people and it's a little exhausting for them, they're probably really enjoying working from home. They may even be more productive and more happy. And maybe for them, this could be an ongoing thing. Maybe they can figure out a way to always work from home and be happier employees and just happier people in general.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point about not just the people having choice, but that this is a temporary thing. And we're not just talking about what happened this year. Wasn't just that we all decided to work from home, you know, whether you consider it sheltering in place or surviving a pandemic or just doing what the government tells you to do. There were things that happened very quickly, all of a sudden, to our businesses. Some, you know, some were told to shut down. Some just all of a sudden didn't have any business. Others very quickly ramped up. When we look at the some of the things that have changed, delivery services, truck drivers, those kinds of businesses, some of the tech businesses that are supporting those of us who can work from home, it is only a segment of the economy that could even do that, you know. So there's a lot that happened right away. But for those businesses whose employees were all of a sudden, you know, not coming to an office, the issues list, the things they were dealing with at the manager level, all of a sudden, it's just enormous, right? Who's working from home? Who has connectivity? What are we dealing with personnel issues? With as we're now in a home, there is no separation between work and family now. What does that mean for the culture of companies? The stress is there. The business plan for 2020, that just kind of went up in smoke, right, for most of us.
Yep.
The O's, right? And at the same time, for those people who were integrating the functions at a business, who were the operations managers or who were, in EOS we call it the integrator, but it's the COO person, the person who's just, you know, the office manager, where'd everybody go, right? We miss our people, even if they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. We're not sure if we know how we know that, right? Because we were stuck in a way where we are still thinking about work as paper, as piles of paper. And so if somebody looked busy, if there was big piles of paper on their desk, if they showed up on time and worked late, they must be doing their job. And now if you can't see that, then that's another thing too, right? And yeah. On top of that, then, it's just so much happened. So much happened all at the same time that it is. I think it's important to tease out a little bit that just all of the many layers, because in some organizations, some of them are much bigger than others, and really need to be addressed first. You know, even before the others can be.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and there were plenty of challenges to working from home as well. Depending on what your home life looked like. So for someone like myself, I live alone with a cat, and you know, the first couple of weeks were great, but eventually I got a little lonely, as you can probably imagine. And there's only so much you can talk to your cat. They don't talk back, believe it or not. I tried. But you know, so you've got that side, right? You've got the people like myself, mm-hmm. who are experiencing loneliness. We're experiencing a disconnect. It doesn't matter how many phone calls or how many virtual chats. It doesn't matter how many of those occur. I'm still feeling a little lonely and disconnected because I'm not getting that human interaction that I was getting before everything just abruptly stopped, right? Mm-hmm. And then you've got these poor people, parents. I can't tell you how many stories I've heard from friends of all the challenges of being a parent during this time. And it doesn't matter if you have an infant at home or an 18-year-old or you have a 27-year-old sleeping on your couch again because, you know, maybe they lost their job. If you're a parent, you were struggling through this as well, because there were a lot of uncertainties and I think a lot of internal mental battles going on in parents' minds. You know, am I spending enough time with my child? Is my child learning appropriately? Oh, and by the way, I'm working a job as well.
And how can I possibly be in two places at the same time?
Mm-hmm.
And you can't. Yeah,
absolutely.
And
I'll tell you what, you know, Facebook is good for so many things. And I always look at Facebook typically from a business perspective these days. But what I noticed happening during this time is not only were people kind of airing their grievances, right? Like, oh, I can't believe, you know, I got to teach my kid and work at the same time. But I also saw some resiliency. I saw parents go from complaining and just grieving everything and then moving on to check out what I did with my kid today. We turned a walk in the park into a science lesson. You know what I mean? Like, they're coming up with unique ways of dealing with these challenges and trying to make it fun, too. which is just amazing. Yeah. It's amazing to see the resiliency of humans.
Our daughter is 8, and she loves science experiments. And at a certain point, I was just trying to like clean the house or something. And so we ended up, I had her doing a science experiment with, is it baking soda or baking powder and vinegar, right? Like you make a volcano.
Yeah.
She was cleaning out the drain of the house. And we made a little chart so that she could, like, which one got biggest, which one was smallest, which did it matter if you put hot water or cold water down the drain? And those moments, I think those moments are, they're important to kind of hang your hat on, you know, and say, look, it's possible. And it's important, too, to remember that Facebook world is the highlights reel of life. We don't, you know, we don't write down the 23 hours of lonely, crazy, stressed out, permanent anxiety, you know, stressed happening. It's that we put those posts up and then we do kind of hang our hat on them. We swing from one to the next so that we can look for that next point of light, you know, that next thing that we can succeed and celebrate with. Because it was, the spring was a really trying time. We thought we were all going to have a really, really terrible thing. And then we realized that actually the vast majority of us are quite healthy. And that there's a lot to be said for that, you know?
Sure.
But yes, such a learning for so many people. And such a, an odd time socially too, because those of us who were working from home were at least working, right? There was a paycheck. And for a lot of people, that wasn't the case. It's not going to be the case for a long time. You know, you're in the events industry. And so off topic for us, but I think important as it plays into the people that we are and how we live our lives as we're working from home or now venturing out more and back in school. All of that is part of the experience of the spring and of the summer.
Absolutely. Totally agree. And before we get any deeper, we do have to take a quick commercial break. So we will be right back on I'm In with the ARCC on Talk WWSC 93.1 FM, AM 1450.
This is I'm In with the Adirondack Regional Chamber of Commerce on Talk WWSC.
And we are back. Thanks again for tuning in to I'm In with the ARCC, sponsored by Stored Tech, your technology, our passion. And today I'm joined by Wendy Waldron of Waldron Works. Before the break, we were talking a bit about the joy and woes of working from home. So if you are still working from home, you're probably just in the thick of it and it's just an everyday thing. But some of us actually have been able to go back to our offices, which has been fun and exciting, and a little bit of normalcy, if you will. So Wendy, I'm hoping maybe you have some tips or some recommendations that you can share with us, because as much fun as it might be working from home, earlier you were talking about how owners and managers and supervisors, they have to now manage these remote teams of people. And like you said, it's hard to account for what are they doing. Are they getting it done? Okay, it looks like they're getting it done, but, you know, should I give them more work? Should I give them less work? You know, and all that stuff. So how should owners and managers and supervisors be managing remote teams these days? Are there any tips?
Yeah. Yep. So I have come up with a list of 5 tips that I would like to share with you, Amanda, with our listeners today. And they are specifically for times of maybe additional stress or strain. They're good for any day. And they are helpful, especially with remote teams or with teams that are maybe not remote, but are under stresses themselves that are unprecedented, right, in these times. So the first is that I would say for that manager, for the person, or for the listener right now, check yourself. Check your emotional, your intellectual, your physical, your emotional, your mental energy. Each one is different, right? So before you're entering into a conversation, before you're picking up your phone, before you walk into a room, click on the Zoom button that says you're going to show your face now, right? Before you are present think about your presence that you are bringing in. Think about what you want to convey. Of course, what you want to convey is probably calm and stability and connection. But more than that, where are you now, right? Are you tired? Are you distracted? Is your anxiety level just through the chart? And so what can you do to notch it back, right? Like just a couple of blocks. It's important that we realize that we're actors in the culture of the company, in the success of a meeting, in the tenor of what happens. It matters if the manager walks in the front door to their office or the back door, through the floor, through the workshop, through the garage, before going to their office. These things matter, and they matter more than probably anything else that you could do. So number one, reset yourself. Number two, keep in touch with clarity and consistency about how your people are performing. So here's a way. I'm going to give you a framework. This comes straight from EOS. We have a tool. It's called the 5-5-5. This is a very specific tool. And the idea, when I say tool, I mean, here's just like a format, a way to think about something. It could be an actual piece of paper form. Every single person that reports to you is responsible for a few different things. In EOS, we train that they're responsible for upholding the core values of your company. They are responsible also for upholding and accomplishing the larger priorities, the larger responsibilities of their role, the in general bigger things. And they're responsible for specific metrics, specific measurables, right? So those are three areas that you can have a routine about, where at least quarterly, we teach to have this conversation quarterly. It takes 10 or 15 minutes. It's a walk and talk kind of conversation. It can be on the phone. It can be in person. But it is where you specifically say, Joan, thanks. I want to talk with you about how things are going. Here's the three areas. She tells you how she thinks they're going. You tell her how you think they're going. You have a conversation. You open that dialogue. So to touch base, treat the people that are doing well the way you treat the ones that are not. So if you would go to somebody and say, listen, you've been late to work three times this week, and talk with them about that. First, be open about that. They may have some very good reasons, right? It may be that school is different or whatever else. But what I'm going to propose to you and ask you to think about doing is go to the people who showed up every day on time and tell them that you noticed that too. Thank them for their commitment. Thank them for putting your common work as a priority in their life, because our work and our lives are all mixed up right now. So make sure that you're doing that. So that's number two, keep in touch routinely with everybody. Number three, get a little creative, right? So if it is Zoom that you're on all the time, get off Zoom. Our phones still work. Just use the dang phone, right?
Yeah.
If you're on, really, just use the phone. Does it have to be a Zoom call every time? No, it does not. It doesn't have to be a scheduled Zoom thing. Just pick up the phone. Send a quick text message, right? Do things in ways that we kind of used to do them, right? Maybe that means that you send them actual mail, like a thank you card. Maybe it means that you go to the expense, you send them, you wouldn't have to, you get a little piece of chocolate and you send it in the mail to them with a little sticky note that says, thank you. you have a kind of a running joke of some sort, that like you would have in the office, right? Just like you would have in a more casual way, but be more intentional about it. It might also be that you take a walk. If you have people that you're physically with, it's a beautiful outside right now. I have long been a proponent of a walking meeting, shoulder to shoulder, moving in the same direction, very much like you want to have happen in your work environment. When we sit across the table from someone, we've set ourselves up as opposites. We have set ourselves up to connect, maybe, or maybe oppose each other directly. A little more indirect communication is that leaning on the back of the tailgate, right? Looking in the same direction, walking in the same direction. So do that. So number three was get creative. So far we've got reset, keep in touch, get creative. Maybe two more. Time block, right? multitasking doesn't happen. We think we're multitasking, we're really not. We're really half-tasking, right? So please decide what you're doing and do the one thing as best you can. Now, if you are working from home and you have distractions at home, whether they're furry or they require snacks and school and whatever, right, whatever the distraction is, take a look at your schedule. Really take a good hard look and see what flexibility you have. You mentioned this earlier, Amanda. Can you take a longer lunch break that includes time to prepare lunch, right, and eat it and maybe get outside and play and then come back in? Can you, you know, do something at a time in the morning where you've got an hour or two and you know that's going to be protected time? You're going to tag team maybe with somebody else if you can do that. And that's your time to do your really deep thinking work. Maybe late afternoon is the time when you do your more creative work or some sort of filing or sort of stuff you do by rote, you know. But to think about your time in blocks of time and give yourself a routine. Whatever you do, don't try to be multitasking all day, every day, and making everybody happy, because it just doesn't work. And we just get stressed out.
Sure.
And then finally, I say move. In an office, we move. We move more than we think we do. We go to the bathroom, which might be further away than our bathroom at home. We go run downstairs to bring something to somebody. Maybe we run outside for something. We maybe go to our car at lunchtime. It's easy, especially if you're working from home. It is really easy to not move. So please move, put the things together, go for a walking, talking meeting with your team. Listen to a podcast or, don't do the Zoom meeting. Do the meeting where you can, if you can, be having a walk while you're also on the Zoom meeting. Then sometimes that's possible too, but just look for ways to move. And that would wrap up my suggestions. And I am open, more than open, as we are all managing this together, to hearing anybody else's.
Thank you, Wendy. That was really powerful. And it's so interesting because as you're talking about these tips, a lot of them in my mind seem obvious, but I think we have to be reminded of these things pretty frequently, because we do. We get in our daily groove. You get in a mindset every morning, and sometimes you forget to, like you said, move. You forget to check in with yourself. Before you even check in with anyone else, check in with yourself in the morning, you know? So thank you for those tips. They're amazing. I think if we could all implement those on the daily, we'd all be better humans for it. But it's one step at a time.
It's a constant learning.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And while we're kind of on the subject of, you know, working from home and trying to get through these things, you kind of shared with us how you feel that owners and managers should be managing their teams. And, you know, and of course, we can all take tips from this. But more interestingly enough, there's this, I spoke about parents earlier and how they're struggling with balancing, you know, homeschooling or virtual learning and, you know, working from home and God only knows what else, right? So do you have any tips for parents specifically, or caretakers even, on how they can balance all this at once?
The thing that I'm doing is maybe three things, right? One, make sure that you're not isolating yourself more than you need to. So is it okay? You know, it might be that there are people around who want to help and who you visit with when you feel like you have time. But I know something that in my family, what I was guilty of is just all the time trying to multitask, not doing it very well, and then insisting that we didn't have time for anything social, even if it was a fairly safe social thing to do. Whereas I would have been better off letting that social thing happen, or maybe even like trading sitter time, trading watching the kid time, and then having a dedicated couple of hours to think for myself.
Sure.
So help, right? Let people help for sure. I try to identify three things that for myself I need to get done every day. I have a big running list, and of course I'll get a lot more than three things done. But there are these little, there's like the neurons that fire off in your brain and they say, oh, don't forget about this. Or did you take care of that thing yet? And what about this other thing, right? And when, especially in a pressure cooker, work from home, school from home, we're trying to be calm and we're really not, time. I don't know. That has been, you know, in a nutshell, and for many of the parents I'm speaking with, it is this pressure cooker kind of thing. And you don't know how, you know, how can we do this for months more? Well, for me, something that really truly does help is to think, what are the top three priorities of things that I really need to do? It could be something super simple, like I need cream for my coffee today because I used the last of it. So don't forget to handle that because tomorrow morning is not going to be pretty if I don't get my coffee. So, or it could be something major, right? Like respond to the big request for programs that it could be a really big deal for your business. Finish the bid on the thing, whatever the thing is, right? So pick the three things every day that you're going to do. And it doesn't have to be that they're important to somebody else. They're just important to you, and it's a little bit of sanity. So I would say that has been really helpful to me, too. As simple as it sounds, there's a really big difference between simple and easy. And that's where most of my tools lie, most of the work that I'm doing. It's simple enough to understand, but do we really do it every day?
Right.
And we feel better when we do.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And thank you for kind of reiterating that. Like all of these things sound so simple, but you actually have to make an effort to do these things every day.
Sure. You know, it sounds like it's a really simple idea to tell you to have a weekly meeting with your staff. Or when I ask companies, I ask an owner, how's your staff meeting anyway? You know, do people show up? Are they engaged? Does it matter to them? Is it helpful to them? And sometimes the answer is, well, What staff meeting do you mean?
Sure.
Right, they don't have, right? And they're kind of embarrassed because it is one of those things that it is simple to say, but it's not easy to do if you haven't given it some thought about the importance of it.
Absolutely. Okay, well, we have to take our quick final break. And when we come back, we're going to wrap up because I know you've got a virtual learning opportunity coming up I'd love for you to tell us about and also how to get in touch with you. So we will be right back after this break on I'm In with the ARCC on Talk WWSC 93.1 FM, AM 1450.
Now more of I'm In with the Adirondack Regional Chamber of Commerce on Talk WWSC.
And we are back. Thanks again for tuning in to I'm In with the ARCC, sponsored by StoreTech, your technology, our passion. And Wendy, I want to thank you very quickly for being on the show again. I thought you provided so much value in this show. I mean, I'm taking so much away from this, and I hope our listeners are too.
I hope so too. I hope that I've been useful. It's a trying time for all of us, and we need to stick together.
Absolutely. So, in our last few minutes here, I definitely want you to tell us how we can get in touch with you to learn more about what you do and hopefully work with you, and then also tell us about your live leadership virtual learning opportunity that you've got coming up.
Yeah. So I am at waldronworks.com, Wendy Waldron. My phone number, you can call me anytime, send me a text, is 518-926-8735. But waldronworks.com will get you there as well. And you'll see featured on waldronworks.com. Live Leadership is an offering that I have put together for the first time just now, pulled together that some of the trainings that I've done with companies and distilled down to the tools that could be most beneficial or the classic learnings about the difference between being someone who's good at your job, and then when you get promoted or when your company grows and now you have employees and now you find yourself in a leadership position, how are you supposed to be the boss? What does that mean? And how can you do it really well so that leadership that you're offering is at the same caliber as your professional or your trade or your other work that you do that you're known for? So I pulled together content for three classes. They're virtual classes. early on a Tuesday morning. We'll start. It's in about 3 weeks that we start in November. And then also offering 3 individual private coaching sessions with me for each person who signs up for live leadership. The idea would be that you learn something new and then meet with me to talk about how you're really going to use that. So it's not just a class that's sort of in the ether, this ethereal thing that you sign up for, and it's kind of a virtual thing and you're not quite sure what it was. No, you're drawn to task to really literally say, how are you going to use this? How is this useful to you? And for you to have a whole hour to talk about really anything you want to with me and sort out the right path forward for 2021. So that is live leadership. It is offered at a price that is a deeply discounted price over individual coaching, executive coaching sessions. And I hope that people will take advantage of it. I really do. I know that it's been a crazy year, but we're not going to national conferences. We are sometimes tempted to invest in ourselves and in our team at last, you know, and this isn't the year to do that. So if you're looking to retain your staff, grow your own homegrown people that are really in with your culture, but they need new skills. Or if you're that person who has just kind of had it and you could use a little reset button, I would love for you to have, you know, to have you join us.
Thank you so
much. So
that's
live leadership.
Thank you so much, mm-hmm. Wendy. And again, go to Wendy's website, waldronworks.com, to learn more about that program. I'm excited about it. I'm glad you're offering it. And of course, we'll be promoting it through the chamber as well. So I hope you get a great turnout. It sounds like, it's something we need. It's something this business community needs. So thank you.
Yeah, spots are filling up. So I'm excited.
Good. Glad to hear it. And Wendy, if you have one more thing to say, maybe one more tip or some words of advice, and we'll end the show on that.
So my final bit of advice is to get clear about exactly what you want your people to do and clear about whether or not they're doing it. And if you need help with that, I'm glad to help. Wendy Waldron.
Excellent. Fair and simple. I love it. Well, Wendy, thanks again for being on the show. Really appreciate it. And that is all the time we have for today on I'm In with the ARCC. We'll see you next week.